You are listening to Manufacturing Revival Radio, spotlighting the innovation, the business savvy, and the entrepreneurial spirit of manufacturers from here at home and around the world. Celebrate the can-do spirit that is bringing manufacturing back. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
Good morning and welcome back to Manufacturing Revival Radio. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined as always by my friend and colleague, Todd Youngblood. Todd, we are knee-deep into Thanksgiving week. I'm looking forward to the holiday.
I am too. Thanksgiving's always been my favorite holiday, and it's just, you know, my daughter just got married last weekend, so I got all kinds of things to be grateful for. The radio show's doing great, business is great, the family's great, holy cow.
Yeah, Thanksgiving Day is the only day where men are actually allowed to watch TV without any chirping and whining.
Encouraged, in fact, at my house.
Right. Well, we have a great show kicking off Thanksgiving week. Say hello to today's guest. His name is Joel Leonard. He is a workforce development consultant and the maintenance evangelist. Welcome to the show, Joel.
I'm delighted to be here. It's great to be on Manufacturing Revival. Let's have one.
Absolutely. Hear, hear. Well, Joel, gosh, before we get into a conversation, we have a lot to cover today. Do take a quick sec. Tell us a little bit about you and your background.
I live in North Carolina, and I travel around the world trying to build the next generation of skilled technicians. I grew up working in a factory, working in businesses as a part-time job, trying to get my college degree, and then I realized that that's really where some serious opportunities are. But the prettiest girl in the whole plant chewed tobacco.
Outstanding.
So I went to work for a software company and got involved with maintenance management software. And so set up over 1,000 computerized maintenance management systems over the years, and then got involved in working with an association, the Association for Facilities Engineering. And I quickly was able to rise to the vice president of membership because I told everybody it's alcohol for everyone, and that got a lot of members. But anyway, I've been trying to make things fun and do things over the years. I've worked for a variety of different training companies trying to help build the next generation of skilled technicians. And then also, I now have an online TV show, and I have a program called or a blog called Crisis Corner. I travel around teaching certification classes, doing a variety of things. And again, it's been quite blessed to be variety of different initiatives like speaking before Congress and on CNBC and other outlets. So trying to get the message out that we need to fix things. Did this long before Tom Friedman wrote columns about it, or 60 Minutes did some stories on it. So,
yeah, well, we're going to get into a bunch of that stuff, but you're known in this space as the maintenance evangelist. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, that was not a title I came up with. It was actually a professor at the University of Tennessee who saw me speak at the National Manufacturing Week, and he never saw somebody, he said, that spoke so passionately about doing maintenance. And you know that the opportunities, you know, maintenance is looked upon as a repair function, but there's a lot of opportunities with advanced technologies that companies aren't fully utilizing. So I've been really trying to spread the word that, you know, we can computerize maintenance management, we can look schedule activities, we can incorporate a variety of different technologies like lubrication, vibration, acoustic ultrasonics, thermography. They're now doing 3D scans of tunnels by putting in a 3D scanner on the front of a train, and they're able to see the different leaks and faults within a tunnel. They can be able to go back in and do some analysis of that. So I've been really trying to uncover a variety of different technologies and trying to get more people to use them, because that's where the money is.
Joel, you've kind of started down the path I wanted to ask you about, but when I think of maintenance, I mean, that is anything but sexy and glamorous. And I think it's bigger than just maintenance. The whole manufacturing world is kind of looked at by most folks as kind of boring, dull, not interesting for other people. What kind of things do you talk about to make folks understand that, hey, this really is cool, it's sexy, it's fun, especially for younger folks?
Well, I, it's interesting you just brought that up, because right before our program, I just got invited to speak again at the National Science and Engineering Festival, where last spring, I actually spoke to some high school students. And in order to get them interested in this, I actually had them use an infrared thermographic camera and then also use an acoustic ultrasonic leak detector, taught them how to see this and hear this and see different problems. And then when they, maintenance is not glamorous. People think of maintenance, they think about repairing blocked up toilets and things like that. They don't think about the actual opportunity, or mopping buckets and things of that. And they think of it as a janitorial function. They don't realize that maintenance, if done properly, can be a major job path, career opportunities. I mean, the average maintenance guy is making $56,000 across the country, and depending on the markets and various different things. But again, these infrared and some of these technologies are visual. Their acoustic is auditory. And so you're able to hear, see problems, be able to troubleshoot problems, be able to see these things. And the kids really fell in love with it, especially when you showed them a variety of different things that they've seen, like on Animal Planet, where you can look at the actual blood flow of an elephant ear and how it cools itself. I mean, and then you translate that into the building, where you can look at the actual electrical faults and the various different switch gears that are having faults and things like that. When you show those types of visuals to them, they really do understand and they get a better impression of it. So it's an effective tool. And again, these acoustic ultrasonic leak detectors, Goodyear saved $2 million in just 2 years by plugging compressed air leaks in their facility. By doing that, they were able to really be a lot more competitive. Everybody's talking about sequestration and the physical cliff and going off, laying people off. Well, there's millions of dollars to be had that was going into the energy that we don't need to spend.
Joel, you talked about how most Americans view maintenance as janitorial in nature. And my thought was, when you were saying that the guy who does, quote, maintenance at NASA probably went to MIT. You said repeatedly in the top of the show that you're about building the next generation of skilled technicians. Why is that so important? Why has that become your life's mission?
At the time, I didn't really think there was enough people actually putting enough attention to this. And I realized that when I die, I want somebody to think I did something on this earth. And so I realized that this is something I need to do. And so I've been spreading the word long before Mike Rowe got involved, long before other people picked up the mantle on this. I've been out there working and doing a lot of the yeoman type work and trying to get the attention put on these issues. And that's why I wrote songs about it. You're welcome to play them if you like. I wrote one song that's been re-recorded now in 9 genres. It's got a hip-hop, bluegrass, a gospel, trying to get the message, operatic. It's been played in conferences where it's translated in French and translated in Italian. And it was just played in Malaysia. So these songs have been really, actually they were played before Congress and played the rock and roll version, played in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Was that hip-hop and bluegrass in one song?
Well, we're actually, it's kind of interesting to bring that up. That's another thing. This is 10-year anniversary that I'm working with the DJ to come up with a mix for all the versions to be played in one song. So everybody can hear the message.
Well, I got to tell you, so far we've talked about songs in different genres and blood flow and elephant's ears. Not where I thought we were going to go today. I need to ask a question. I hear the phrase skills gap, and that just hits me as such a cliche. And Joel, I know you're a lot more specific. You've got a lot more specific knowledge about that. Talk more specifically about the kind of skills that are lacking.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different skills issues. And again, we're dealing with the boomer tsunami. So there's a lot of workers that are getting ready to walk out the door. And so companies need to prepare for that. And, you know, we've got some transitional skills that need to be developed with the future generations. And again, we've got these new technologies that are in, that have been developed, but nobody fully knows how to use them. And companies haven't invested in the training in order to get their people maximized to incorporate that. So the machining skills is I hear of high demand, welding skills is of high demand. And, you know, a lot of people say that there's not enough compensation available for this. And probably in some markets, they're probably not. But in other markets, there is. And, you know, again, we're asking people to do a lot more with less and take less pay. And so in order to address this, more companies are going to have to invest in their people as well as the training to get the quality that they're going to need.
All right. We'll be back with Joel Leonard after this commercial break.
Advanced Control Solutions, the Southeast's premier factory automation solutions provider. Advanced Control Solutions offers a comprehensive selection of automation products and services. Our priority is to help our customers gain a competitive advantage in their market through efficient and creative use of factory automation technology. By focusing on high-end technology, ACS provides innovative hardware and software solutions with superior service and technical support. By focusing on high-end technology, ACS provides innovative hardware and software solutions with superior service and technical support. We aim to bridge the gap between the factory floor and the boardroom using a range of products, from Ethernet-ready PC solutions to vision and motion control systems. Advanced Control Solutions. Learn more about us at acs-ga.com.
All right, and we're back with Joel Leonard, maintenance evangelist.
Joel, you were talking about the skills gap just before the break, and I'm wondering if a better word for that or a better phrase for that might be skill crisis. What do you think?
Well, it is. I mean, there is a serious skills crisis that's underway where we're not really addressing the educational needs. And over the years, the high schools tried to get everybody to go to college, and everybody was focused on what they know, not necessarily what they do. And we've got to really upgrade our educational system, our workforce development system, because, again, we're competing against markets all over the world. I just got back from Malaysia, and the cost of production over there, as we know, we're fighting against the labor market over there where they don't have to pay people as much. And, you know, the machines can do a lot of the work here, but we got to know how to use them. And they're very expensive to train on that. So we've got to get more community colleges and more educational outlets like some of these vocational tech programs back into the school system. And I'm so delighted to see that some are, but they took them out because they were out of fashion. Now we realize that if we're going to be a nation that prospers, we got to be a nation that produces.
Joel, if I allow myself to think about the problem that we've kind of defined so far on the show, and I begin to think about how we tackle this problem, I get overwhelmed quickly. And you mentioned pre-show a really interesting cultural phenomenon that we celebrate singers and artists. We're not celebrating the scientists anymore. You know, I mentioned NASA jokingly earlier, but you know, it was really cool and hip to be in the space program many years ago. You know, where's the problem? Is it a cultural thing and that we have to make manufacturing and technology and science exciting again? Is it an educational issue? I mean, I know the answer is all of the above, but where do you start?
Well, I think that we have to get the different media outlets to recognize the value of this and start investing with them. Because, a couple of major outlets really did promote their programs to the point that they took over our culture. And, you know, it's interesting. What we watch is what we become. And, you know, when they introduced poker on ESPN, everybody wanted to play poker. When they introduced all these different things out there in our sports, you know, they have dedicated sports channels. And nobody really talks about the science channels and the science magazines and the science things. We got to get more people getting in tune to that and getting more interested in reading this material and viewing this and making it fun. And you know, I'm delighted to see some of the things I'm seeing on the Learning Channel, Discovery Channel, and various other outlets. But we've got to glorify this a lot more than what we are and get more people to not look down their nose at people that are doing work. That's another issue that we've got to recognize, you know, because somebody's got a job and is actually maybe doing some cleaning or something is not a low job. That actually is a very high and very important job, and their kids don't know that. And so we've got to get into the education systems. That's why I'm delighted when I can to get in front of them and try to set them straight as to some of the potential opportunities that are available.
Joel, it's one of the mission objectives of this show is to tout the exciting sex appeal of how cool manufacturing really is. What are some things that Todd and I can do to help spread that word?
I think continue doing what you're doing. I mean, you're interviewing me. You've interviewed Karen Linder. If you can continue to bring up more interesting people that are doing things and actually getting out and trying to fight this battle, get some of the associations involved. The National Defense Industrial Advisory or Industrial Association is a group that we need to get on here as well. We've got to get some of these major organizations that are fighting this, the Fabrication Manufacturers Association. I don't know if you know that group or not, but they held Manufacturing Day, and that was absolutely wonderful. I'd encourage you to get the community college systems, some of their deans involved, and there's actually going to be a Manufacturing Day in North Carolina, and I'm hoping that other places around the country will start emulating that. And so if we can continue, again, to promote, advance, circulate the information and the good jobs, get people on here. They're making $100,000 a year in the manufacturing sector, and don't let them get attacked for their taxes, but let them to share their what they do and how they do it and why it's so important. I mean, we've got some really talented resources in manufacturing that are going to leave. They're aging out. And what are we going to do when they leave? Are we going to drop it on the next generation or hand it to them?
Well, I'll tell you what, Todd and I are on the case, Joel, and we're gonna stay on it. But, hey, it wouldn't be right. As long as we're talking about media outlets, tell us a little bit about Skill TV.
Well, Skill TV was formed out of my frustration. When my father was dying, he said there was nothing on TV that he wanted to watch, and he had over 100 channels. And, nobody other than Dirty Jobs at that time was actually talking about these issues. And so I decided, well, let's create an online TV show. And so I've been interviewing various different resources from around the world, including Saudi Arabia, Canada, Malaysia, all over the place, in Australia, and put it up there online where people can view it. And circulate some of that information so that people can see, there are people out there. If they hear that there's a chorus of skills crisis out there, more action, more money, more resources will go to fix it. And that I think that's happening.
Joel, what can manufacturers themselves do to deal with the skills crisis? I think it's twofold. One is what are some innovative training things that they can do? One, two, what can they do to get young people excited? I mean, do we need to rethink and really be creative in how we do some really fun, clever internship type opportunities?
Absolutely. In fact, I'm delighted you brought that up. I'm actually working right now with the Guilford County Workforce Development Board, and we're setting up some CNC machinist interns to get them indoctrinated into the process 10 weeks into their program, so where they actually can apply what they're learning, they actually can see where it can be used. And so we're working on those issues. The companies can set up what I call breakthrough training and set up in their break room, as opposed to just having CNN or ESPN on the flat screen TVs in the break room. There's a company up in Portland that actually was concerned that their workers were walking out the door and their operators didn't know how to do the work as well, and they were trying to create some TPM strategies. Well, they actually got the manufacturers, the OEMs, when they did the training, to allow them to videotape it. They've got a spool, a regular program going on to where they can constantly be saturated on all the processes to keep that machine working. And so that continual flow of information, not just send somebody to a one-time training class, but have that regularly broadcast. And if they have a particular production line that's had a problem, they bring that up into the spool and they have that going on. And the workers are asked to, during their breaks and during their lunchtime, to sit in there, and they're constantly being exposed to it. It's an opportunity where, again, you don't have to spend a lot of money. You've already spent it. And $1,500, you can buy your computer flat screen and do all the schedules. Have somebody signed to take care of that. So that's one innovative approach. They're also, again, getting the students actually into the classroom or out of the classroom and into the factories and bust the silos that we have created in our society. We wonder why kids don't have relationships with our elders because we don't allow them to. We don't get the elders into the schools. We don't allow them to go visit. We've got insurance costs that we've got to figure out how to get more people into these factories and let them see what they actually do so that they can make some solid career decisions as opposed to what they're seeing on TV. You won't believe this, but I was in North Carolina, and I was asking these classroom of kids what they want to do for their career path. There was one guy that wanted to go to Alaska to work on a, you know, the most dangerous jobs. He wants to go do that because that's what he saw on TV. He doesn't know what factories are in his backyard. He doesn't know what the jobs are available to him. So, you know, there's some schools that are actually setting up employer days. They're trying to do more of that kind of thing, and we've got to do more of that. We've got to get our kids in tune to what's going on in our factories if they're going to be capable of running them.
Well, Joel, that's a strong place to end the show. We're out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you, and where can they learn more about all the work that you're doing?
Well, they can visit me at joel@skilltv.net, and skilltv.net is the website. They can also go to the Crisis Corner blog. Actually, you know, I'd love if they join me on LinkedIn because I've got a variety of information and resources there. If they just type in Joel Leonard on LinkedIn, they can see a guy with an infrared image with his hand sticking out. They can find me there.
Joel Leonard, maintenance evangelist and a workforce development consultant. It was really great to have you. Thanks for joining us on the show today.
Well, my pleasure.
Well, and I think we ought to keep in touch with this guy, Todd, and I think we need to work in cahoots and continue to spread the gospel. I think there's probably some things we can do together to help keep pushing this. So, Joel, thank you for making time to join us.
Well, thank you, guys. Keep on revivalizing.
Well, we're going to keep recruiting evangelists just like you, Joel.
That's wonderful. Keep it up, guys. We need it in the worst way. Thank
you. All right. I am Todd Schnick. My co-host is Todd Youngblood. We'll see you next time on Manufacturing Revival Radio.